Soul. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today I have an inspirational guest to share with you, Wytesha Williams Merrill. She is a mental health counselor, LPC, born in Louisiana. She is also a disabled United States Army veteran and a transformational speaker. She coined the word mind empowerment, which was inspired by the understanding that every challenge begins and ends with the mind. She is also the small business owner of WLW, Restoring and Healing Hearts. She has diverse experience ranging from serving in the military, community counseling, serving as a counselor in the Florida school system, and working in the Florida justice system as a substance abuse therapist. And she's also author of the book titled, He Wouldn't Let Me Die, which we are going to talk about today. And I'm just thrilled to share her and her life wisdom with you. So welcome to the network, Wytesha.
Well, thank you for having me, Ms. Pat.
Thank you for finding us and wanting to be here. I'm just thrilled to meet you. So it's my honor. So much to talk about. And let's just get rolling. Maybe before we dig into your book, we need to hear a bit of your backstory that led you to write the book, He Wouldn't Let Me Die. So share with us what you think is appropriate so that we understand why you wrote this book.
I would say one of the number one motivational factors is I wanted to be that voice to people that suffer in silence. That was my number one motivator. Prior to even becoming a therapist, I would meet so many different people that would share their stories with me about abuse, about their trauma, molestation, and, you know, the horrific things that happen to us, you know, during childhood, you know, bullying, things of that nature. And I would find that when people would share that information, they would want to keep it in secrecy and basically just they would hold on to it and not express it, not share it. But and in the midst of it, that would turn them into very unhealthy people. So when I began my journey, I just said, hey, you know, I wanted to be that voice that spoke up for the people that suffer in silence. So that was basically my number one motivator to be a voice for the people that have went through all of this trauma, those abusive situations in secrecy, and just they're those people that would never talk up about it. So my book and my voice is a voice for those people that suffer in silence.
And that is so, so important because there's so many people that suffer in silence and are just afraid. And not that they ever did anything, you know, things were done to them, and yet they are ashamed and embarrassed to speak of it when you would hope that they would be able to speak out and say, this is wrong. But it really takes a lot of something from within to be able to pull it out and to have an example such as yourself. I think what you're doing is just a gift to the world.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate it because believe it or not, it wasn't an easy thing.
Yeah.
And even when I wrote the book, you know, it took me quite some time to actually publish it because of, you know, the fear of, you know, what will people say? What will family think? You know, and all of those negative intrusive thoughts that continue to manifest in my head. But the voice to help people and be that voice for people that are suffering in silence was way more bigger than just this story, because I know that I'm representing a huge population of people that have been through similar situations such as myself, and some have even experienced worse.
Mm-hmm. So is it okay to go back and touch on some of the history that you went through? I think it'll make it clearer to our listeners what you went through and then how you came out of that.
Okay. Well, I will not go into in depth, but when you do read the introduction, It's the introduction speaks and it touches on that. When I was a younger kid, a young lady, I experienced sexual assault from my biological father. And age of five, I also experienced a near-death experience with my mom, my biological mom, trying to take my life. And both of my parents pretty much abused me physically, mentally, emotionally, all the way up until the age of 16. And not only that, throughout my childhood, I endured a lot of bullying from family members, from classmates, and things of that nature, which impacted my mental health. It impacted my self-esteem level. It caused a lot of depression, and it even led up to me attempting to take my life at certain points of my growing life. So the trauma was very traumatic and very gruesome, a very hard life. But I'm a living testimony, and I tend to say that it was a transition. It was a transformation that I had to go through to come out as a triumph. And again, I feel like I am a spiritual person, and I try to always tell people that I'm not religious, but I do believe in the Creator. And I believe that, you know, my reason for going through the challenges that I did experience, it basically birthed a purpose in me, which is, again, being that bold, confident person that's willing to talk about abuse, willing to talk about mental health issues, and willing to talk about family issues. I'm willing to talk about the issues, the challenges that most people won't talk about. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about that? Your voice will resonate with so many people, I am sure. I'm just so proud of you and for you that you've been able to arise from all of that. And even the subtitle of your book, To Not Walk in the Purpose You Were Given Life For, is A Life Not Worth Living. And that kind of sums up who you are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So then you joined the Army. Why did you do that? How did that come about?
Oh my goodness, this is a great question. I'm originally from Louisiana, and as I share in the book, I grew up in a very impoverished neighborhood, in a very impoverished home, and the environment that I grew up in, it wasn't a productive environment. So throughout the time frame of me experiencing all of that abuse, of course, I turned into a juvenile delinquent. I kept running into a lot of bad encounters with the law, and it was always this small voice inside of me telling me that there was something bigger and something greater. There was just something bigger outside of what I was experiencing. So there was this last experience where I lost my temper, and I ended up having to go to jail. And I went to jail, and I sat in there for a couple of days. And I said, this can't be it. It can't be it. And, you know, back then, I remember older people telling me, well, when they would go to court, the judge would say, you got two options. You could either go to jail or go serve our country. And so this is why I pride myself on, just the walk and the walk that I'm on and that I've overcame, because at this point, I didn't go up against a judge that gave me an option. I took the initiative and said that, hey, I'm going to do something. If I lose my life, if something takes place, I want to leave this world leaving some type of fingerprint, leaving some type of story that is worth listening to or worth hearing. And I chose to go into the military because I wanted to get out of the environment. You know, I said, hey, I'm already at war because of the environment that I was living in. So I said, you know, what could be worse? You know, could the military be any worse? And so, hey, I pursued the journey. It wasn't easy because I did have a record. I had a history. And, you know, I had to talk to several people and go through several stages in order for them to even approve me to go into the military. But they did accept me.
Boy, again, doesn't that speak to that little something inside of you that was so much stronger than what you had been experiencing to just pull you out and create the human you are today. Wow. Talk about a transformation, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So then, obviously you lived your life, and what caused you to think that, was there some experience or something that happened, or what caused you to say, I've got to write about this. I've got to put this on paper.
I feel, again, I continue to run into so many women that had experienced my similar situation. And then it got to a point where I had begun to encounter men that felt so comfortable with talking to me about their abuse. And I think what actually, what prompted was, I was actually, prior to myself getting married in the second marriage that I'm in, I was engaged to a guy that had a strong disdain against homosexuals. And I'm a huge supporter of the LGBTQ+ community, because I tell people all the time, I walk in love, and agape love is unconditional love, so we love everyone. But this individual that I was engaged to, he had a very strong disdain towards homosexuals, and he never would tell me why. So 2 years into the engagement, he finally came out and told me that the reason for his disdain or his dislike or his hatred was because he was sexually assaulted by a male older cousin of his. And he told me that by us, you know, being engaged and me being so open about talking about my story, that it actually gave him the courage to open up and tell me what took place with him. Mm. And so that is when I kind of said, you know, it's so many people that has experienced what I have experienced. And he would always encourage me and tell me, hey, you know, somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to hear this story, because it's so many people that are experiencing the same thing. And so years later, now I'm, you know, I became a licensed professional counselor. And but at that point, I was a provisional, you know, and it was just, you know, I continued to just meet people that was like, okay, I'll talk to you about it, but I won't tell anybody else about it. You know, and I'm just like, more people need to know that you're not alone, you know. And so that was my thing, just helping people understand that the stuff that they're going through, the abuse, the trauma that they're experiencing, privacy with their families, with their friends, you know, the things that happen in secrecy, it is more common than what people would think. People just don't acknowledge it. They keep it in secrecy.
Right.
So, again, I just wanted to be that voice.
Mm-hmm. And how was it for you to write? How did you feel during that writing process?
It wasn't cathartic at all. It was as if I was reliving the trauma all over again.
It was
as if I was reliving the trauma all over again. And so, you know, it did kind of take me into a downward spiral. To the point where I just had become more anxious, but I had two very supportive females that were kind of walking me through the process. And one lady, her name was Letitia Russell. She's actually from Louisiana as well, and she's an author, a speaker, and she wears a many hats as well. She was actually the one that helped me with all of the resources with writing the book. And she told me, she said, you have to do this. She said, you have to do this because our Creator has called you to do this. He has called you for this purpose, for a time such as this. And this is a voice, again, not just for you, but it's for many. And people need to hear the story. So she said, stop sitting on it, release it. And I did.
You did.
Yeah, but it wasn't easy at all.
I'm sure it wasn't. You have a character, M.E., who is a white eagle. Let's just talk about that for a bit.
Oh, yes. Awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. M.E. M.E. is a white eagle. He's our mascot. And it represents me, because when I talk about the journey of the abuse, the trauma, the challenges that I went through from childhood on up to my adulthood, I let people know in the book that I really didn't have a person to grab my hand and say, hey, you can do this. Or I didn't have a person throughout my journey to really say, pat me on the back. Now, I had people that I observed that had very strong character traits that I admired, that I would say I mimic, but I can't say one person that, other than my grandfather, that encouraged me to have good grades, I didn't have that person to say, hey, you can do it, you can make it. So throughout this entire journey, I was alone. So the ME character comes from me, which means you. I tend to tell everyone that ME, which also translates to, we use it interchangeably as mind empowerment. How I basically overcame a lot of my challenges and I walked through the triumph was because of my mind and the empowerment of my mind. Me telling myself that there is something greater, telling myself that there is a greater purpose out there, that I know that I have not gone through these situations and these challenges for naught. So it goes back to, I ask the question, I always pose the question, what can you do without your mind? Absolutely nothing. So if you change the way you think, if you change your mind, you can change your behavior. If you can change your behavior, then you change your world. So that's where ME comes from, which goes back to you. I feel like anybody can see a therapist or they can receive counseling or they can get help. But it takes that number one person, which is you, to say, hey, I want to change. I have to change. I'm going to put forth that effort to change. If you, which is me, never does that, change will never come about. Mm-hmm. So that's what ME comes from. ME interchanges into mind empowerment.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Mind empowerment. Yeah. M.E. like the abbreviation. Yeah. Yeah. And now you have something called the 3 W's that helped you overcome some of your life adversities. Will you share those with us?
I will. The 3 W's was want. It was the willpower. And the third one is walking into your purpose and walking into victory. So again, you know, just thinking about the childhood, my childhood, and, you know, even my early adulthood, when I began to work through my trauma, everything started with a want. And, you know, when I talk to people, I often tell people, you know, everybody has a want. If you want to lose weight, it starts with a want, you know, you desire to, you know, exercise more, get on a better diet, you know, or get mental health. Anything that happens in life always start with that first W, which is a want. But the second one is the key. I would say that's the most profound and the most powerful W of all of the W's, because that is where you have to put in the work, and that's the willpower. You have to possess the willpower to come out of a situation such as myself, such as these, what they call phenoms, or these anomalies, these people that basically was placed in positions and environments where statistics basically stated that they would never become anything or they would never overcome their situation. Your willpower has to be so strong. And again, it has to be so much louder than what the paper is saying, what science is saying, what statistics is saying. You have to have that willpower that's going to push you to defy the odds. And that's why I have become, you know, the successful person that I am. I work in the communities with helping people to understand that willpower, you have to have it to overcome your challenges. And so in the third W is pretty much, once you put in that willpower, you put in that effort and that work, and you do what's necessary to overcome those challenges, then you can walk into your victory. You can walk into your purpose. But you have to have willpower. So want willpower and walking into your purpose. Those are the three W's.
Wow. I'm going to add a fourth W, and it's Waitisha.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
After hearing our conversation, I'm thinking there's four W's, because everyone can want, have their wants, and then find the willpower and to work through it and to then walk to their purpose. But the overarching W is you, somebody that they can look to as a shining example of how to make this happen. All right. How about the title? He Wouldn't Let Me Die. Where did that come from?
The title came from the near-death experiences and also the suicidal attempts. Like I said, at the age of five, my biological mom tried to take my life. And, you know, in the book, I talk about that. I dedicated an entire chapter to the details on that. And so at the age of five, if I wouldn't have fought, you know, I wouldn't be here today. And then age seven, in the book, I talk about another near-death experience where one of my older cousins basically tried to take my life a certain way, and I talk about that in the book. And then once I just, in my mind, as a child, I'm wondering, you know, why am I always experiencing abuse? And it's like every time I meet somebody or in the family, I'm getting treated differently or, you know, every time I meet someone or I go around a family member, somebody wants to hit me or just treat me differently. So that's where that depression came from. And then I later on in life, you know, as a teenager, I was very depressed, very angry, had low self-esteem. And then I tried, you know, to commit suicide a few times. And then after some time, after the attempt, I found that, you know, I'm like, my creator has a purpose for me. Like, you know, it's one thing to try and take your life, but it takes a very courageous and bold person to live and to fight through the things that I have actually fought through. And my last attempt, I actually prayed and I said, you know, hey, if there is a reason for you wanting me to be here, then I will live. But if it's not, then I will expire. And I actually lived through my last attempt when I was a teenager. So that let me know that I had a purpose. But not only that, that was the whole reason for the title. Is no matter what I went through, he wouldn't let me die because of the purpose that I am serving today and will continue to serve. And that's to speak up and give a voice to the people that suffer in silence.
Absolutely, and amen. Wow. Oh my gosh. You know, you talked about willpower, and just having that conversation makes it sound easy. Okay, you've got to find willpower. Just in a normal everyday situation where you say maybe, oh, I want to lose 5 pounds, but you can't because you lack the willpower. But then you're talking about something that's so much huger than that. What is willpower? Like, where do you pull that? How do you harness that?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, like I say, I am a spiritual being, and I do have a faith, and I have to give that to my creator. I have to give that to my Almighty. I feel like, you know, there was some type of calling and some type of assignment that was given to me by birth. You know, and not trying to be too spiritual, but there were so many stories in the book of the Bible, just as Joseph, when if you think about it, when his brothers sold him into slavery and then he went to prison and then he ended up becoming second in command of Egypt, or even when we talk and then going back to Moses when he was supposed to be killed at birth, and then Jesus, you know. And so when I think about those people, you just have those phenoms, you have those people that has been given a specific assignment, a specific purpose, a specific calling, or as other people would say, or military personnel would say, a specific mission. And some of us are just chosen by birth. And like I say, by going through the experiences that I have now gone through and looking back on my life, I absolutely know that the calling that I have is in mental health, because any person that I come in contact with, if it's not one thing I can relate to them with, it's several things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just being placed on this earth to serve a purpose such as the one that I'm serving. And I feel like that was something that was given to me by birth. Mm-hmm. You know, it was given to me by my creator.
Right. Well, I'm so happy that you recognized it and did something positive with it. All righty. So what's next? You wrote this book. What's next in your world? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on quite a few things. We have now a structure, and it's called the Restoring the Journey Home. So I'm working on this project where I can, I have an apartment where I would like to put individuals with mental health challenges in their house, them, and also provide services to them. Mm-hmm. But then not only that, that's one project that I'm working on. The second one is I'm actually working on a children's book called, and the name of the children's book, I think it's safe to say, I don't think anybody could plagiarize or steal it. But even if they tried to steal the title, they still wouldn't have the same content as myself. So it's okay. But the children's book that I'm coming up with is actually called All Children Can Fly. Because I encounter a lot of young people that, you know, just battle with self-esteem issues. These social media platforms have made it very challenging for individuals, for these young people to really be able to find self-worth. You know, and I think it's just a common thing. Mental health challenges in our communities go untreated. They go ignored. And a lot of the challenges that the youth experience pretty much are not addressed because it's looked upon as in they're just going through these developmental stages. But, you know, as I tell people, I was once one of those children that felt I was unheard. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to give back to the youth. I want to be able to inspire them and, again, give them a voice as well and let them know it doesn't matter your circumstances, your environment, your family name. None of that matters. All children can fly. And so that's my next project.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. What an inspiration you are, Waitisha. All right. As we begin to wrap up, I want to make sure we're not missing anything. Anything you wanted to highlight today?
You asked some very great questions. I think that I gave enough information for anyone to be encouraged and motivated to go and read the book. I just would like to let the listeners know that, you know, the book is very inspirational to anybody that is on a journey to heal, because it begins by telling you about the gruesome challenges in life that a person feels like they would never overcome. And then you hear about towards the end how this is a person that basically defied the odds, you know. So I talk about self-healing, self-motivation, self-acceptance, and self-love. And it just goes, it all goes back to self. We seek love from so many different people, but it always starts with self.
It does. You are so wise, so, so wise. Thank you. Thank you for all of this today. I so appreciate it. And I want to make sure everybody has the information they need to find you and get copies of your book. So send us where we need to go to find out more about you and get your book.
Okay. The two platforms that I have the book on is you can go to Amazon. It's up under my maiden name, which is Williams. I'm now a Merrill. You can go to Amazon and type in Waitisha Williams. It's spelled W-Y-T-I-S-H-A, Williams with an S. Or you can type in the title, He Wouldn't Let Me Die. So it's on that platform. It is also in on a site called payhip.com/Waitisha Williams. So if anybody wanted to purchase the book from there, you can do it from there as well. And then my formats of contact, I have a TikTok, mindempowerment_QueenW. My YouTube platform is Queen Waitisha _mindempowerment. And Facebook is WLW Restoring Healing Hearts. So those are all the places that people can contact me if they ever wanted me to come and speak, because I am a motivational speaker as well, or if they had any questions. Those are all of my platforms and my information.
Okay. You are the queen. You are Queen Waitisha for sure, in my eyes. All right, my friend, I have to just thank you for finding us and spending time with me and now our listeners and sharing your story and your inspiration. And I just love your quote, "To not walk in the purpose you were given life for is not a life worth living." And your life is sure worth living. You are doing so many great things. Thank you. Just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I just love who you are. Thank you for being here.
And thank you so much for having me, Miss Pat. It was an honor. Do I have a second to say one more thing?
You have more than a second. Say whatever you want.
Okay. I want to also leave this with the listeners. Mind empowerment. We have a very profound statement, and I think this will impact the nations and anybody that listens to it. But there was a quote that stated, "The mind is a terrible thing to waste." Well, mind empowerement, which goes back to ME, states, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, but it is a powerful tool to empower. So I just had to leave that because that is our quote to let people know that everything starts with the mind. And if you use your mind, you can come out of any situation that you're in. So that's all I have, Ms. Pat. That's it.
You've got a lot more than that, but we'll stop with that. Waitisha Williams-Merrill, the book is titled He Wouldn't Let Me Die. You can find it on Amazon. You're a blessing. Thank you for today.
And thank you for having me. It was an honor.